Radical love, lavish generosity, extravagant forgiveness, inclusive hospitality, compassionate action, selfless service, a passion for justice, creative nonviolence, simple living. Good day, good people. I'm Robert Farrell. This is Coalesce. Thank you for joining me. Coalesce is grounded in both and thinking, heart wisdom, and listening for the common good arising in dialogue, where we are present to presence. Coalesce provides an opportunity to encounter and discover the multiple perspectives that make our beautiful community. May we see with the eyes of our heart. May we love one another with peace and compassion. May all beings come to know the divine presence within. This is episode 47, 12-Step Spirituality, Part 1. Step 1, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. The very first step of the 12-step program is our admission that we have come to the end of ourselves. Once again, we see the truth of the Paschal mystery. Life comes out of death. In the case of alcoholics, it's not just the death of their ego's belief in their human ability to manage their drinking. Their physical death is literally imminent. As Bill Wilson described his own story, "My weary and despairing wife was informed that she would soon have to give me over to the undertaker or the asylum." End quote. The Big Book says that when Alcoholics Anonymous began in the 1930s, doctors largely thought that most chronic alcoholics are doomed. Moreover, an illness of this sort, and we have come to believe it is an illness, involves those about us in a way no other human sickness can. All are sorry for a person with cancer, and no one is angry or hurt, but not so with the alcoholic illness. For with it, there goes annihilation of all the things worthy in life. It engulfs all whose lives touch the sufferers. It brings misunderstanding, fierce resentment, financial insecurity, disgusted friends and employers, warped lives of blameless children, sad spouses and parents. Anyone can increase the list. For all of us, whether addicted to alcohol or something else, unless there is a person, situation, event, or idea, conflict, or relationship that you cannot manage, you will never find the true manager. God or life ensures you have numerous opportunities to encounter your powerlessness. Self-made people and all heroic spiritualities will try to manufacture an even stronger self by willpower and determination to put them back in charge and seeming control. This pushy response does not normally create loving people. Rather, it produces people in ever deeper need of control. Eventually, the game is unstable. As English poet W.H. Auden put it in his poem, apropos of many things, quote, "We would rather be ruined than changed. We would rather die in our dread than climb the cross of the present and let our illusions die." End quote. Fortunately, this was not the choice made by the honest, humble, and newly sober friend who came to help Bill Wilson at his lowest point. Bill explains, "My friend sat before me and he made the point-blank declaration that God had done for him what he could not do for himself. His human will had failed. Doctors had pronounced him incurable. Society was about to lock him up. Like myself, he had admitted complete defeat. Then he had, in effect, been raised from the dead, suddenly taken from the scrap heap to a level of life better than the best he had ever known. Had this power originated in him? Obviously, it had not. There had been no more power in him than there was in me at that minute, and this was none at all. I saw that my friend was more than inwardly reorganized. He was on a different footing. His roots grasped a new soil. End quote. It is just as Jesus, St. Francis, John of the Cross, and Teresa of Lisieux teach us. There is an incredible power in powerlessness. The quickest ticket to heaven, enlightenment, or salvation is a willingness to face our own smallness and incapacity. Our conscious need for mercy is our only real boarding pass. I'd like to say that again. Our conscious need for mercy is our only real boarding pass. The ego does not like that very much, but the soul fully understands. Step 2. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. You've probably heard it said that most of our problems tend to be psychological, but our solutions are always spiritual. Alcoholics Anonymous insists this is especially true for chronic alcoholics. They are 100% hopeless apart from divine help, as one doctor put it in the Big Book. It is an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. Alcoholics Anonymous is very clear that a vital spiritual experience is necessary for recovery. Carl Jung used that term when he told one of his patients that it was his only hope. Here and there, once in a while, alcoholics have had what are called vital spiritual experiences. Ideas, emotions, and attitudes, which were once the guiding force of the lives of these people, are suddenly cast to one side and a completely new set of conceptions and motives begin to dominate them. End quote. This is what I call an identity transplant, or as Paul describes it, I live no longer not I, but Christ lives in me. Galatians 2:20. Your life is no longer about you. You are about life. This unitive encounter is the cure for our inherent selfishness and separateness. Alcoholics Anonymous is careful to point out that this spiritual experience is not always sudden and spectacular as it was in Bill Wilson's case. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety because they develop slowly over a period of time. With few exceptions, our members find that over time they have tapped an unexpected inner resource which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. End quote. Step 2 is the necessary longing, delaying, and backsliding that invariably precedes the full leap of faith. The statement wisely uses an active verb to describe the movement, came to believe. The surrender of faith does not happen in one moment, but is an extended journey, a trust walk, a gradual letting go, unlearning, and handing over. No one does it on the first or even second try. Desire and longing must be significantly deepened and broadened. To finally surrender ourselves to healing, we have to have three spaces opened up within us, all at the same time. Our opinionated head, our closed down heart, in our defensive and defended body. That is the core work of spirituality, and it is work, yet it is finally the work of a power greater than ourselves. All we can do is keep out of the way, note and weep over our defensive behaviors, and open our full selves to God's presence. The presence that is surely the highest power is then obvious. It's all-embracing and quickly effective. So it takes us a long time to come to believe, which is the gradual healing and reconnecting, coalescing of heart, head, and body, so that they operate as one open field. Without this, many, if not most people, remain religious but not spiritual, which organized religion has been content with for far too long. Let us take this moment to heal and reconnect, coalesce head, heart, and body. With eyes closed and hands on heart, rest in the silence. Be still for 1 minute. Step 3. We made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. Notice that each of the 12 steps is expressed in terms of we and us. There is a real sense of community and inclusivity in AA rather than the hyper-individualism and exclusionary tendencies that have contributed to making Western Christianity so ineffective. Atheism is actually a product of Western Christianity, which has promoted a spirituality of individual advancement, perfectionability, achievement, performance, and willpower. This is a far cry from the loser script of the naked, bleeding, crucified Christ. The overemphasis on individualism has also presented a toxic version of God as judgmental and unforgiving. If you ask an atheist to describe the God that they do not believe in, you will probably discover that you don't believe in that God either. How can we expect people to fall in love with a God who is going to burn them in hell forever if they mess up? I mean that quite seriously. It should come as no surprise, then, that about half the original members of AA considered themselves atheists or agnostics before they began the 12-step program. It is exactly the freedom to choose your own conception of God, as Bill's friend put it, that frees even atheists and agnostics to lay aside prejudice and express a willingness to believe in a power greater than ourselves. The Big Book describes the spaciousness for a variety of positive beliefs about a higher power. Much to our relief, we discovered that we did not need to consider anyone else's conception of God. Our own conception, however inadequate, and I would add, no conception of God is adequate, was sufficient to make the approach and to effect a contact with a higher power or God. As soon as we admitted the possible existence of a creative force, a oneness in the universe underlying the totality of things, we began to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction, provided we took other simple steps. We found that God does not remain aloof from those who seek God. To us, the realm of spirit is broad, roomy, and inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek, end quote. Christians should not insist that my higher power is better than your higher power. This is love of self and not love of God. But it is still good for Christians to know that our Jesus was made to order for the transformative problems of addiction and human suffering. From the cross, Jesus draws all suffering people to himself. This God suffers with us. What humiliated and wounded addict cannot look on the image of the crucified Jesus and see himself or herself? Who would not rush towards surrender and communion with such a crucified God who, against all expectations, shares in our powerlessness, our failure, and our indignity? Who would not find themselves revealed, renamed, and released inside of such a God. The suffering creatures of this world have a being who does not judge or condemn them, or in any way stand aloof from their plight, but a being who hangs with them and flows toward and through them in their despair. And further, this God wants to love and be loved rather than be served. John 15:15. Giving our life over to such a God is surrendering to love, making it easier to say with many 12-steppers, God, I offer myself to Thee, to build with me and to do with me as Thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do Thy will and bear witness to those I would help of Thy power, Thy love, and Thy way of life. End quote. Or as Jesus and Mary simply said, Thy will be done. Step 4. We made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Moral scrutiny is not to discover how good or bad I am and regain some moral high ground, but it is to begin some honest shadow boxing, which is at the heart of all spiritual awakening. Yes, the truth will set you free, as Jesus says in John 8:32, but first it will make you miserable, as many others have said. The medieval spiritual writers called this defeat to the ego compunction, the necessary sadness and humiliation that come from seeing one's own failures and weaknesses. Without confidence in a greater love, none of us will have the courage to admit our failures. Self-scrutiny merely becomes neurotic scrupulosity about non-essential moral issues rather than mature development of conscience, human love, or social awareness. See Colossians 2:16-23. Shadowboxing, what Bill Wilson called a searching and fearless moral inventory, is for the sake of truth and humility and generosity of spirit, not vengeance on the self or some kind of victory over the self. None of us need or expect perfect people around us, but we do want people who can be upfront and honest about their mistakes and limitations and hopefully grow from them. Apparently, that's what God wants too. Simple honesty and humility. There is no other way to read Jesus' stories on the prodigal son or the publican and the Pharisee, Luke 15:11-32, and Luke 18:9-14. In each story, the one who did wrong ends up being right, simply because he is honest about it. How have we been able to miss that important point? I suspect it's because the ego wants to think well of itself and deny any shadow material within itself. Only the soul knows that we grow best in the shadow lands. We are blinded inside of either total light or total darkness, but the light shines on inside the darkness, and it is a light that darkness cannot overcome. John 1:5. In darkness, we find and ever long for more light. I would call this dark grace. But most of us have only been taught about light and pretty grace, and so we miss at least half of our opportunities for encountering both God and ourselves. Let us take this moment to connect with our dark grace. With eyes closed and hands on heart, rest in the silence. Be still for 1 minute. The practice for this episode is titled Working the Steps. Coming to trust and surrender to our higher power is the work of a lifetime, even as mercy flows instantaneously to us. The 12 steps require us to both work and to undergo grace. I invite you to begin wherever you are. It might take you a day or a month or more to take each step with the support of someone you trust. Just begin, and each day commit to beginning again. Remember that as humans, we are all addicted to our way of thinking. A regular practice of contemplative prayer is the oil that greases the wheels of transformation. Include daily meditation as part of your program for whatever addiction you are facing. In the notes for this episode, there are questions for each step, adapted from Richard Rohr's Breathing Underwater Companion Journal. These questions may help you take each of the steps deeper. Take your time in reflecting, journaling, and sharing with others. In the days and week to come, may you open to powerlessness and allow the God of your understanding to heal and coalesce head, heart, body, and soul. Blessings to all.